Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
Hi, WFAN Daily time, and for today's episode, I wanted to talk some hockey because BT and I normally on the midday show, we've been talking some football, some baseball offseason, even the Knicks, but we have not discussed the Rangers with any depth whatsoever, really maybe just a mention here or there. So to help me discuss some Rangers and educate me and us on all that's going on with the local hockey teams, we welcome in Casey Hudson, who is, of course, a host for she's a betting analyst host for Sports Grid TV with both the NHL and the NFL. Now, Casey, I stumbled across your stuff while I saw you on another podcast with my buddy Dexter Henry, and I follow your NHL picks. My mind is blown at how much you know about the NHL. And then I know you know the main reason why I wanted to talk to you today. Not only was I following along your NHL picks, but you also tweeted out something saying that the Rangers should not pay Igor all that money because they have other issues. So I want you to now educate us. Welcome to the show, Casey. How are you?
What a welcome. Well, I'm great. Hopefully Rangers fans don't toss me out of the state quite yet, because not that he shouldn't be paid. Tough words there. I would say that the price felt a little high. I'm just thinking more big picture versus emotional, but everybody has their opinion and their start to an opinion. So I'm doing great. I'm so happy to chat with you.
Okay, and off of that, and I appreciate you taking the time, I'm admitting I'm emotional to it, and I really don't know. Like, I was always just of the belief of, hey, you've got a great goaltender, you keep him, you figure out the rest, you build in front of him. Either tell me what the Rangers need or why you think it would be detrimental to them if they did pay Igor the money that he's asking for.
Well, it's such a layered question and answer for starters. So I'll go with the fact of back to big picture. I know what it's like to be an emotional hockey fan. I am an emotional hockey fan. But the statement of saying that the price is a little too high, it's going to change the goalie market, and the proof behind it still needs to be a little bit more substantial. It's not conjecture. So for starters, $11.5 is $1 million above the highest paid goalie that's not playing in the league right now. Take that into context. Then for two, we have a 5.4 increase coming to the cap space. That's great. But hockey has been in cap hell for years. So that cap increase is supposed to alleviate and reset for one. So putting yourself in an 8-year, 11.5 lockdown with, yes, the best goalie out there, while it feels like pay your best goalie, that's going to solve all of our problems, it's not. Henrik Lundqvist, fantastic goalie, but the guys playing in front of you, they're going to matter that much more, because you start to wear out your goalie. You rely on them too much. You put them to shoulder the results of chasing a Stanley Cup. It doesn't always result in a Stanley Cup. It's finding those diamonds in the rough, making sure you have that chemistry and that consistency in front of you. There's still too many pucks getting by. There's still too much stress on Igor Shesterkin. He's 2 years out from 230 years old. We got some older goalies doing some great things in the league right now, but the reality of pattern is that once you start getting to that 30 mark, you can look for some peak inconsistencies. So why would you put your goalie in a position to shoulder the result of chasing a Stanley Cup, pay him when you haven't made it to a Stanley Cup final? I'm sorry, you haven't made it out of two Eastern Conference finals as well. So as soon as he won the Vezina Trophy, you get bounced out by the Devils, you go to an Eastern Conference final, and then you have a team that had two solid two-way lines and, you know, really good goaltending, but not Shesterkin goaltending, beat you out of the Eastern Conference final to go claim a cup. So there's just a number of things that play into the value of 11.5 being $1 million above the highest paid goalie at the moment.
shoot, I got to tell you, that was highly impressive. And now I'm depressed because I like what you're saying makes perfect sense. Okay. And there are many layers to this. So let me take you back. You mentioned Lundqvist before that, right? So with Lundqvist, and a lot of times they had Tortorella was the coach, and they'd have great defense in front of a great goaltender, which for me was counterproductive. Like, if you're going to have great defense, then maybe have a little less of a goaltender. And if you're going to have the goaltender like Hank, then build a team that's going to be more open and try to score. They were never able to do that. They get to the finals, they lose to the Kings, whatever it may be. I don't want them to waste Shesterkin the way that they did with Lundqvist, but if they have to pay him that much, is there a way that they can still build this team out to become a legitimate Stanley Cup contender?
Yeah. I mean, in a way, yes, because at the end of the day, it comes down to chemistry. I mean, don't be mad at me, Rangers fans. I hate to compare it to Tampa Bay, but you look at teams that have been able to find, again, diamonds in the rough to solidify your roster, to make sure that you guys find offensive progress. It's there without going heavy in the money market. But the other consistent theme that I've seen over the past couple of years is the investment in defense in front of them. Like back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, the Lightning, where Vasilevskiy was the top talked about goalie at the time. The minute that you pulled two of those key pieces off defense and he didn't have that help in front of him, they fall short in their third Stanley Cup final appearance to the Avalanche. That defense does matter. Let's take it back to the Vegas Golden Knights, the team that was close but no cigar a number of times. What changed? Well, they had stout goaltending, yes, but that defense was so freaking reliable. They got them across that finish line because there's sometimes that your goalie is just going to catch that fatigue. And we've seen slumps out of Shesterkin like we do out of every goaltender. So I would say you can make an argument to be the highest paid goalie in the league if you've at least made it to a Stanley Cup final, but they haven't done that. So the result is not entirely there. You don't have a ring. You haven't competed for the ring in the games that matter most. That close but no cigar has hurt a lot of teams. Now you're also looking at a number of contracts that are going to be coming up and closing in the next 2 years. What guys do you continue to invest in? Chris Kreider is getting up there in age, so you're looking at 3 more years with him. Like, where do you start plugging in the other pieces? And the way that the game is getting faster, the way that players want to be paid outside of the goalie market, you're going to have to probably keep some space alive to say, okay, we're going to have a couple key guys to contribute along the Lafreniere's. And it's great to see your young guys starting to perform, but what shutdown line do the Rangers actually have that's physically and showing up every single night on the ice? There's holes in the defense. You're going to probably have some cap restraints when it comes to moving Trouba or lack thereof. So there's just too many contingencies, in my personal opinion, to say, hey, here's $11.5 million. And I understand the tax issue. New Jersey has high tax issues. Minnesota has ridiculous tax issues. But you're still asking for payment without result. And you're just hoping that something's going to happen in the next couple of years. You're putting yourself in a do or die, win the cup this year position. And do you really feel like you have the pieces to win the cup this year?
Can the Rangers win the cup this year?
They're letting up a lot of shots. They're still one of the greatest teams right now, but they're letting up a lot of shots. And if we see another slump in the first, you know, in the second half of the season, and Jonathan Quick has to be the hero of the Rangers, that's going to be slightly concerning, number one. Number two, let's think of this also. We don't have a normal All-Star week break coming up. We have four nations. These players are going to have 2 weeks off. A number of these players are going to be playing and representing their country. We don't know what the fatigue is going to look like after that. So you're also talking about players maybe taking a minute to get their legs back underneath them in the most crucial part of the season. That means a heavy workload on your goaltender as well. But that also means goaltenders love consistently having action and high pressure against them to stay in the best form possible. A lot of players are going to be cold for 2 weeks straight before jumping back in to compete for a cup. So that's going to change a lot of the success and trajectory of a number of these top teams. The Atlantic is not as strong as the Metro, but the Capitals are a team we're keeping an eye on, that's for sure. The Devils made the right moves to put themselves in a better position. So between health and that second swing of the season, we have no idea how high the competition is going to come in after that four nations break.
What do you think the biggest issue is with the Rangers overall?
I want to say it almost feels like there's not a plan. Like, what's the identity of this Rangers team outside of Panarin, Lafreniere, and Shesterkin? And that's no disrespect to Kreider, who's so consistent on scoring on the power play. But a team that looked really good the first 2-3 games of the season on 5-on-5 doesn't particularly look that sexy right now. And there's a number of teams that are really good. They're really fast. They're consistent with generating on-man rushes. If you're looking at a speedster matchup come the end of the season, and then also in the postseason, that's going to be very problematic. So I'm not seeing enough consistency out of the top lines. Like, I love that the third line was placed back together, but again, you can't always rely on the same three guys to be your scorers. I don't trust that there's much depth scoring coming into play for the Rangers right now either. So a lot of talent. I just need to see where these pieces like rearrange themselves to have that spark over and over and over again. I know people are worried about Zibanejad. I don't think he's broken. I just think that if you don't trust your defense, a number of forwards get stuck in this crossfire of like being defensive minded while also trying to score. And it can cause a lot of an identity crisis, to say the least.
When I asked you to come on the pod, was it your intent to make me try and cry?
No, I didn't. I just wanted to not be the enemy. I do my homework. I think this team's very talented. I think they'll make a deep run. I just think that we're almost trying to do the same thing we did last year. You know what I mean? And they tried, and everyone's like, well, the trade deadline's coming up. Yeah, but they did the all-star roster. They brought Patrick Kane in. They brought in Tarasenko. They brought in all these names, and the result wasn't there. So that's what I mean by, like, what's the plan? Where are we looking in development to make sure that we're putting the best pieces forward to take this team over that line? And I don't think that that comes into the goaltending. Shesterkin is amazing. He's going to remain amazing, and I think he could still be amazing at under $11.5 million. But I think that there needs to be more of a focus on what is the consistency and the chemistry between your four lines. You know, we spent too much time making this the Rempe show and turning a lot of this roster into entertainment versus functionality. So there's just a bit of a disconnect in my personal opinion, but I think there's still a lot of hope there.
All right, a couple more on the Rangers here. This is great stuff from you, Casey. We appreciate the time. Is there a price? You mentioned under 11, whatever it was, $1 million. Is there a price that makes it work? And you say, okay, well, they could bring back Shesterkin, lock him up forever, eventually have his number retired to the rafters, go try to win a Stanley Cup and build the team out. What's the number that he would have to sign for?
I mean, I have to look further into the taxes because I know that they are steep here and that has to play adequately for him. The typical number that goalies who are producing when they're trying to go out of that first contract into their second contract, it's about a $5 million increase or roughly at 10%. He's still asking above 10%. So Bobrovsky's sitting at $10 million, but he's comfortably in Florida where the taxes don't affect him. So, you know, I think almost matching Carey Price's number, 10.5, 10.3 to 10.5, because if they do get a chance to move Trouba somewhere, even if they do retain part of that of his contract, that's going to open up $4 million. Lindgren is about to be an open conversation. That could be another $4 million. So there are some pieces, but I don't think you put a prove-it deal on a goalie who hasn't gotten you into the Stanley Cup final, let alone won you a cup yet, and it can't all go on him. There has to be a little bit more I mean, I'm a big fan of the stay-at-home defenseman, and I think also we get very stuck in the offensive defenseman mentality for the Rangers, which is great. Adam Fox, one of the best, Harvard graduate, one of my favorite hockey programs to watch. But outside of that, who's really locking things down in the D zone? Who is the guy that Igor can trust wholeheartedly to help him out? I don't know who that player is. Honestly, there's just been too much inconsistency. So I would just say that bringing that down about a million, the 5.4% increase in the cap space, not putting yourself in a cap chokehold before you even know what this team is going to look like in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, more importantly, 2 years, because of the number of contracts coming up here shortly. I think that $1 million can still be very helpful. You get enough key players at 775 of value. It's just all about the fit.
Where are you at with Panarin being an issue in the postseason? Like, again, he lights the lamp all the time. He's been a stud in the regular season, postseason, same crap, where Panarin maybe can't play with that toughness that you need to succeed in the postseason. If I'm looking from the outside, or just as a Rangers fan without having the knowledge that you have of the NHL, I'm saying that maybe he's too soft. Maybe he's part of the problem where they are not the same team in the regular season and the playoffs. Where do you evaluate Panarin specifically in that Rangers offense in the playoffs?
I don't think Panarin's a problem. I think another pattern, if you guys haven't picked up on it by now, I love patterns, right? But that's the brain of an analyst. I think another pattern is look at something else going on across the league, especially with the top teams. It's all about the dynamic duo, right? So who's the partner in crime for Panarin? And sometimes it's not somebody who's going to match you pace for points and goals and scoring, but it's somebody that just brings an energy to your game. And maybe Panarin just doesn't have that piece. Maybe that's why things fizzle out. Colorado, McKinnon and McCarr all day. If it's not McKinnon and McCarr, it's McKinnon and Rantanen. You've got the Winnipeg Jets. They've got They've got three guys in the top 25. Almost every top team at least has two guys in the top 25 in terms of production right now. And when you look at the top 25, Panarin's sitting at number 9, and there's nobody else in that Rangers conversation to just bring any kind of energy to what he's doing. Lafreniere is getting up there. His game has taken a mature step, I would totally say, this season. But outside of that, it could just be in terms of it all goes back to key pieces and chemistry. So what dynamic duo have we seen out of the Rangers maybe thus far, or at least in the postseason?
Who's the second best team in the East? I know you mentioned Capitals off to a nice start, Devils off to a nice start. We know about Florida. I would assume Florida's number one, clearly. Who is the second best team in the East?
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Well, that's a tough one because, I mean, with Florida picking back up where they left off, I would almost have to say in terms of consistency, I know this is going to be pretty wild, but I have a lot of stock in the Capitals right now. I think that they showed up in the postseason really strong defensively, really strong goaltending. They couldn't score for the life of them. They made some adjustments to where now they can score, and they're doing it on even strength as well as on special teams. So that's a dangerous thing. As long as that roster stays healthy, who knows what little moves they'll make at the trade deadline to just emphasize where they've taken the next step. I mean, Dylan Strome is looking at a projected 127-point season. That's disgusting in a great way. Ovechkin is on riding the high of matching pace with one of the greatest players ever in hockey. So there's just so much momentum going on for the Capitals right now. So I'd put them underneath the Panthers, in all honesty. The Devils are great. They're still trying to figure out what their lines are looking like. And we're starting to see more gel out of Jack Hughes, Andre Pallad, and Jesper Bratt, which is great. And Jack Hughes is getting back into rare form, another team that has a dynamic duo or two. But their defense is playing spotty in front of Markstrom as well as Allen, and that's not going to carry you through an entire season.
What do you think is the most important element to have? Is it team speed? Is it goaltending? In today's NHL, what's the thing you would want your team to be great at or have their identity be?
It'd be so selfish. Oh my God, Bolts fans, I love you. It's going to be so selfish to say, I mean, the Panthers are not only fast, but they're big. So they have size and speed on their side. And where that helps this game so much is like a game that's getting faster. They have the ability to go toe to toe with their opponent and kind of slow them down a little bit. But if I had to choose one, it's probably going to be speed. Because in a number of ways, then if you've got playmakers that have really good puck handling skills, see the ice in such a spectacular way, and they've got the speed to kind of outdo their opponent, then it's a hard thing to keep up with. I mean, managing odd man rushes, that's what's killing Pittsburgh right now, even though they've got a talented offense. Goaltending's killing them too, but speed's a big part of it. But having that two-way ability of size and speed, it just helps a lot. And I mean, forechecking is probably one of the most important things. We've learned a lot from watching the Panthers go to back-to-back finals, but more importantly, securing the cup this past time.
Yeah, and the reason why I thought of that question is because you mentioned the Devils, and I was thinking to the playoff matchup a couple years ago with the Rangers and the Devils, and clearly the Devils had speed that was just, like, I'm thinking, oh, they're up 2-0, Rangers going to sweep them, and then all of a sudden the Devils come back and beat them, and I would rather have the goaltending, but maybe I'm just too old and antiquated. Devils have speed. Rank the teams for me, Casey. Rangers, Devils, Islanders.
I think you just did it. Rangers, Devils, Islanders. Like, see, I didn't come on here to ruin your day. I still have a lot of hope in the Rangers. Where things are going to get interesting is that eventually, weathering so many shots on goal, weathering so many high danger chances, you can only do it for so long without being able to kind of stand up your opponent itself. So, for instance, I went to the Devils Islanders game, the first one, at Prudential Center, and something that I noticed is that there's some size between Mayfield and Romanoff, and they were able to be a huge staple in slowing down the Devils. Then the next thing was they were able to stop the Devils from setting up their plays, which if you're fast and you can't set up, it's going to throw off any sort of rhythm. So being able to slow down a team from setting up and having that size ability, it helps tremendously. So the Devils are stoppable, and their top two pairings, they're still trying to figure out what's going on in defense. They had to call up a guy from the AHL the other day, DeSimone. They've got to figure out, you know, while Dougie Hamilton is fantastic and he's racking up points and helping quarterback this team offensively, he's also paired with Dylan, who they've let up the most goals in the league, if not the third top pairing out there. So if you're not helping out your goaltender, I guess is the overall theme. Like, where's the help to the goaltender? I think you show support in that more than anything else to take your team even further. So back to the defensive conversation, I just think figuring out your identity and your system. A lot of NHL teams are kind of in the crosshairs between changing their defensive system from zone to man to hybrid. So I think there's a number of things to figure out before you start throwing money on the table.
You said you went to a Devils Islanders game. How was your experience at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena? What took you so long, Casey, to go see a hockey game there?
I know, it's criminal. It's actually criminal. I fail in many ways in life, I'll admit that, but it was fantastic, honestly. I mean, the opening alone and the, I forgot the musical terminology for it, for the redo for New York, New York, it makes you emotional. Like, you understand why this fan base is so passionate and why they're just so ready for the payoff. So Madison Square Garden was a fantastic experience. They almost took all my money for no reason between the merch at every corner. And yet, like, 47 is one of my favorite brands because I am a hat girl. And so I it wasn't safe to go grab food because I was like, I can't empty my bank account here, and I'm still getting adjusted to New York. So it was a great experience. Everything from the pregame to experiencing the game. I was in the lower 200s, which was cool. So the Chase Bridge that I was warned about wasn't blocking my view. But I'll definitely be back for another game soon.
Let me tell you something. You've educated me and the audience so far. I'm going to educate you on one thing, Hockey Casey. There's nothing like a playoff game at the world's most famous arena for the New York Rangers. I've been to a Super Bowl, been a World Series, been an NBA playoffs. Nothing compares to Madison Square Garden with the Rangers in the postseason. You have to go to a Rangers playoffs game.
I'll do whatever I can to make it happen. I hear that you have to, like, sell kidneys, though, to afford going to Madison Square Garden at certain times. So I got to keep all my organs, but I'll hopefully be able to make it to a playoff game.
You can go with a media credential. Well, I can't, unfortunately, with the way that is. But you can just go with a credential. You have to experience it. Now, lastly, do you hate the Lightning? Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
You're a big Ranger fan and not the Lightning fan, right?
No. Don't do that, Sal. I'm actually from Tampa Bay. So that's where you were hearing the apologies. We've been competitors in a number of ways. So I have to apologize to everybody at this point, because if it ever goes toe-to-toe between Lightning and Rangers, my loyalty lies down in Tampa Bay. But there's a lot of similarities to draw from two amazing teams, and I at least have the ability to do that. I covered the Lightning on the ground for 6 years. I got to do that whole Stanley Cup run with the team. I was their backup studio host. So I honorably just got a chance to learn a lot of hockey from a great organization.
I was at, it's one of my worst games ever, Game 7, I forget the year, but it was the year the Lightning beat the Rangers at the Garden to go to the Stanley Cup. It was 2015, maybe? Does that ring a bell? 2015, the game was off. 2014, maybe?
Maybe 2014. I don't know why 2015, I'm thinking something about the Capitals, but it could have been...
It might have been the
in general.
One of those years. Well, anyway, Game 7, and McDonald was playing on a broken foot that night. Anyway, I was like, I'm telling my sister, you got to go to the Garden. It's the greatest thing. It's Game 7, and they get blanked 3-0. It was a miserable experience, and forever because of that, I will always, I'm sorry, Casey, hate the Tampa Bay Lightning.
See, this is why I've been apologizing, and I had to be a little subtle about it, because I was like, you never know who you're talking to. I don't want to be discounted because I grew up in Tampa Bay. I mean, that's where I skated. No, that's where I did all the things. So we know where loyalty lies. But I also have a bird's eye view of the NHL because I just freaking love this sport and this game. So I promise the opinion is fair.
Yeah, no, 100%. You're brilliant with it. And because of that, and honestly, you're probably the most knowledgeable person that I've ever talked to as it pertains to the NHL overall. You certainly know yourself. I think everybody could hear that now and see that now. Who would you say is better this year, the Lightning or the Rangers?
I would have to probably say the Rangers, unfortunately, because I know that there were some big moves for the Lightning in the offseason. And for them, I mean, I keep talking about identity and chemistry, but until they find that, we don't know. And then it goes back to the dynamic duos, right? Like Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos, that was a rhythm that didn't need communication verbally. They just understood each other, and that paid off in a number of ways. So when you lose that, you have to restructure some things. There's a lot of young talent on the Lightning, but getting some consistency in terms of not letting goals up. We've got Ryan McDonough back, but defense is still letting up too many goals, and it's kind of hurting this team. Third periods are not a great period in terms of them having a lead and securing the W. So there's just a few cleanups that have to happen. Special teams is kind of struggling right now as well. So once they get that under control, I would say they can go toe-to-toe with the Rangers. I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I don't want to hear it. I'll let you a little secret here, Casey. I knew that answer. I knew the Rangers were better. I just wanted to hear you say that they were better.
Sure. Unbiasedly, you knew the Rangers were better. I trust that so much. I do. I totally do. Casey, yeah, they can give you a run for your money, but the issues are somewhat similar, though, so learn from our mistakes. Look at that. I'm being such a good friend to New York.
Yes, and we appreciate that. And truth be told, I wouldn't want to see the Lightning anywhere near the postseason. I'm afraid of that team for all the damage that they've caused. Casey, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for educating me, and I got to be honest, I still want Igor back, but at least I'm understanding why you said what you said, and it pains me to say it, and I don't want to see it. I hope we don't have to get to this. Hopefully they could get Igor back and build. I understand why you're saying what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense to think that you don't want to overpay a goaltender, especially if you have holes everywhere else.
Yep. I just want to be reasonable, but I appreciate you allowing me to say that, to be so out there on your platform. Look, all players deserve the money. Hockey is one of the biggest sacrifices, but make it make sense and have a big picture focus, because I'm sure a Stanley Cup is so much more worth it in a number of ways. So
do you love football? I know you do. So for any, you do NHL, NFL, betting analyst, host for Sports Grid. Do you love football the same way that you love the NHL?
Hockey has taken a bit of a lead in my life. I love the fast pace of it. And to be honest and fully transparent, hockey's mine. Like, when I grew up, my family adopted a good friend of mine, and that's how football just became part of my DNA. He ended up getting 27 D1 offers out of high school, and it just ignited this exciting journey. So I grew up playing soccer. I'm from a foreign family, so soccer and all these things have just kind of been like the focus with sports passion. I used to make fun of football players until I got my brother, and then I used to be forced to study his playbook with him. So being a geek about what makes sense and numbers and plays and all that stuff, it took a ride of its own. So I love football. I really do. But I freaking love hockey. Hockey makes me emotional. Yeah, it's just so much that plays into it.
I can tell your passion. It stands out. I was like, we got to have her on. Your passion is incredible. And by the way, on that note, happy Veterans Day to your mother. I saw your post there today. Happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. And of course, your mom. Would you call yourself a military brat? Is that accurate?
A military brat, yes. An Air Force brat. Both my parents were in the Air Force. And I was at a different elementary school for every grade. I didn't get the brunt of it, but my sisters did. They got kidnapped to Germany. They came back to the States. I got the tour of Florida. So I lived in a different city in Florida every year until my dad stopped punking us with retirement. But still, it's an experience like no other. And I think that's another reason why I have so much respect for hockey and hockey players. They have to make a very adult decision at ages like 9, 10, 11, and 12. A lot of them have to go live with host families. I remember that conversation because I was a gymnast when my dad was going back and forth between here and Korea. And it was like, all right, if you want to do this big time, then you got to go live in the Midwest with a family while our family jumps around. And I was just like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. So there's just so many layers to it. But between being a military brat and identifying in a number of ways with the chaotic schedule, I think that it just brings an extra layer of respect. But yeah, shout out to all the vets out there. And yeah, my parents.
This was great, Casey, except for the fact that you're a Lightning fan. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get over that. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Look forward to doing it soon. Maybe as the Rangers get into the postseason, we'll do a little playoff preview or something like that.
I'd be happy to. I swear it'll stay positive for the Rangers.
Thanks, Casey.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.